When I woke up this morning, I felt kind of burdened to continue down the line that we were going with yesterday's message. And so the title of this message is Battles Are Won Within, Part 2. We read the scripture in the book of Luke that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is the words of Jesus, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we talked about last night about how Jesus was able to heal the broken hearts and to set the captives free through his forgiveness that he offered and through the hope that he gave to those that came to him. He offered forgiveness and hope. And he also said that he would bind our wounds. And the Lord has a way of binding the wounds of our life. And I believe we related how the physical wounds or the spiritual wounds are just as real as physical wounds. And how many times that we've been wounded in life, we've been affected by the sins of others and the things that they have done to us. And we've also mentioned about how being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit is just the start. It's not an end. It was to equip us to enter into the land of Canaan. They did that in the Old Testament. It was a literal land. But we're gaining a spiritual land, a ground, spiritual ground, becoming more of the person that God wants us to be. And we're gaining things that perhaps the enemy has bruised and stolen from us. And we don't have to go through life crippled and maimed because of the wounds of our past. There is healing in the Lord for us. But it's also not just a one-time prayer. It's usually not I know the Lord can meet us and do wonderful things at one time in prayer, but it's also a teaching us how to fight our battles and to face all the debris and the rubble and the damage that has occurred in our life. When they went back to build the temple of Jerusalem and the walls of the city, it was a process. It took time. And I believe we need to realize that God's work is that way with us also. There's a work that he wants to do. There's ground for us to gain, but it's going to take us following God with all of our hearts and believing. Another thing I didn't mention yesterday that I wanted to put in as we go today was that it's also very important for us to forgive ourselves. Sometimes children, when they've been wounded in their youth, they blame themselves. They grow up under feeling that guilt and shame. And when many times they were not really responsible for what happened. When we get older, we hurt others. We're responsible for the damage that we do. But when we're young and we've been bruised and hurt and wounded by verbal abuse or neglect or physical abuse, whatever the case might be, we need to be willing to forgive ourselves. We weren't the blame for that. And I find that sometimes those that have been bruised and hurt are usually very critical of their own lives. They judge themselves strongly, and And we were under the sentence of condemnation from the enemy. But the Lord wants to give us a sentence of life and victory. And we thank him for that. We also talked about our being able to tell God where we're at in our feelings and our emotions, being able to be open. And I want to mention that our human emotions, anger, jealousy, pride, sadness, all of those things, those are not sinful. They're human. I remember one time feeling guilty about being angry. And I opened the Bible up that night and I read the anger of the Lord was kindled. That was a comfort and encouragement to me. And it's amazing that God feels these emotions also. He feels anger. He feels jealousy. He feels sadness. He feels joy. He has all those feelings that you and I have. And those within themselves are not, they're not sinful. Now those things can lead us to sinful things. Our anger, if we're not careful, it can lead us to sin. But if an anger is a powerful emotion, like love, if we can channel it in the right direction, It can accomplish good. There's a scripture that says, be ye angry and sin not. Sometimes our anger is a motivation to movement, to do something, to do good. So anger within itself is not evil. It's not sinful. And we shouldn't feel guilty about it. The enemy would like for us to come in and make us feel guilty. Where it becomes guilty and sinful is when it becomes uncontrolled. And it goes into areas where it begins to hurt and harm other people. But if we can control that anger and channel it in the right directions, it can be a blessing. And it's the same way with some of the other emotions that we have. I wanted to mention a scripture in the book of Psalms, the 6th chapter, and the first verse. It says a psalm of David, but it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I talked about a little bit about chastening at other times, and I feel like this is an area where a lot of damage can be done if our anger is out of hand or uncontrolled. But David here, he said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. I feel like in moments of anger, if we're not careful, we can do things on the spur of the moment that we'll regret later. We can do and say things that will be a detriment. And I believe that happens with our children also. We can correct our children in anger. And it's so easy for us to cross the line in that. And I believe it's important for us to be able to pause, to take a little time to allow that anger to cool down and to think about. I also wanted to mention this, also, especially for the younger parents. In our foster care training, and this is not from the Bible, this is something they taught us when we were doing our foster care training there in Oregon. But they said, don't spank your child with your hand. Now, and they brought out the thought that we don't want our children to associate pain and suffering with our hand. They said to use, and we weren't allowed to physically discipline the foster children that came into our home. But the Bible speaks about chastening and chastening thy son while there is hope. But we don't want to do it in a improper way. We should never hit or slap. And I feel that that's a good thing, that to use the scripture talks about a rod or a belt, whatever. But anyway, the hand, we want, when our children see our hands, they want to be able to associate it with gentleness and kindness and goodness. I know uncontrolled anger has caused many a hurts and many a wounds in the lives of people. And I feel like it's a place that we need to guard against and watch. I want to go to a scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We talked about how the enemy likes to infect our wounds with his lies. But 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, he said, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, most all of us have, when we get saved, we've got, there's some still strongholds in our mind, in the way that we think, in the way that we look at things. When they came into the land of Canaan, there were strong cities, there were giants, there were things that they needed to face. We can be saved, we can be sanctified, but there are things perhaps buried in our past, the way that we think and the way that we deal with life that are like those strong cities and strongholds. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, we do not war after the flesh. We usually learn, many times we learn how to cope and how to deal with life in so many unhealthy ways. Many times we run from our problems, we ignore our problems, we pretend that they're not there in hopes that they'll just go away. But there are so many unhealthy ways, and many times we learn those ways in our life, and we have, I don't know when you got saved, and most of us, all of us don't get saved when we're children, but the longer it takes for us to get saved, we put years and years into the way we think and the way we act. And that's one thing about humans, is we're habitual. We're creatures of habit. We learn something and then we do it over and over and over, and it becomes part of our life, the way that we live, whether it's good or whether it's not. The scripture goes on, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I believe we can be saved and sanctified, and yet there can be some strongholds in our mind that God wants to pull down. He says, casting down imaginations. The imaginations, when you look that up, it's reasonings, computation. It's the way we think. When situations occur, when things happen in our life, our mind goes into thinking about what to do, how to respond, how to react. And many times those habits that we have developed over the years, especially when was unsaved, but we can also have bad habits while we're saved. But God wants to bring those faulty computations, those reasonings, those habits of thinking and feeling that come from our wounds, that bring the sentence of condemnation on our life. God wants to give us, he wants those strongholds to be able to come down, that we can be renewed and recognized. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, the way we think is very important. It's very vital to God. It's important to us. It's important to those around about us. Now, I want to get another scripture. That scripture there said, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, the thoughts that come to our mind, we want to be able to examine them. Is this according to the scriptures? Or is this according to the enemy? We want to be able to discern and recognize where these thoughts are coming from. And if it's from the enemy, we need to bring it into the obedience, bringing every thought into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to get another verse in Romans, the 12th chapter. He says in the second verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. These are wonderful, wonderful scriptures. They're a real blessing to us. This word transformed means to be changed. He said, be ye transformed, be ye changed by the renewing of your mind. We can't think the same old patterns that we used to think and conquer more territory and grow in grace and become more like Christ wants us to become. We've got to be changed by the renewing of our mind. And when our minds are renewed and they're changed, then our life can change. Our response can change. But the mind has to be changed first. Now, this scripture, this verse here, he says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There are people that think that they're better than everyone else. They're higher than everybody else. They're smarter. They're more advanced. They're more intelligent. Whatever the case may be. But I want to say there's also an opposite to this. There's a place where we can think lower of ourselves than what we ought to think. From the wounds of our past. The wounds of our past will tell us that we're not worthy of love. The wounds of our past will tell us that we'll never go anywhere. We'll never amount to anything. That our life is just going to be a failure. That's what our wounds tell us. And we can think more lowly of ourselves than what we ought to think. Soberly, this word soberly is a fair estimate. It means a fair estimate. God wants us to have a fair estimate of ourselves. I want us to think about this just a minute. I have struggled in my spiritual journey with a low self-esteem. I've always felt like I was nothing. And I didn't feel like my life really mattered that much. Wasn't that important? I don't think I'm the only one that struggled with that. Both of these, though, I'm going to say tonight, when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, or more lowly of, they both come from brokenness and woundedness. And I'll ask us a question tonight about kind of a self-examining question about how do we view ourselves. When we're at night thinking, or when we're alone, what are the thoughts that we generally allow our mind to dwell on? I believe it's very vital for us tonight to believe that God loves us, and to believe that my life is valuable to Him. I believe that's important. I'm not more valuable than other people, but my life is valuable to God. And the talents that God has given to me, if we don't value our talents, we won't use our talents. We won't use the gifts that God has given us if we don't put a value on them. Not that we don't value them higher than others' talents and gifts, but we still want to value what God has given to us. Do we believe that our life has a purpose? I remember my dad one time telling me that I was actually a mistake. The birth control didn't work. I don't believe that. Well, I believe what he said, but I don't believe now that my life doesn't have purpose. I believe God has had a purpose in my life. I believe the family that I was born to, there was a purpose for it. And we want to believe that God loves us, He cares for us, that we're valuable to Him. People that have been wounded in their past, they struggle with that. I have struggled with that. I've had to remind myself. But that's part of our battle in believing the truth. The scripture said the truth will set us free. It said bringing every thought into obedience to Christ. Sister Maxine the other day, it's been a while back, but she shared her testimony of she struggled with depression. And I wanted to share just a little bit about what she said, because it really touched a chord in my heart. But she struggled with depression. And she would say, with her words, she would say, "I am depressed. I am depressed." That's a state of being. You know, there's power in our words. There's power in the way we think and the words that come out of our lip. She was thinking that. She was thinking in her mind, "I am depressed." And she said the Lord began to show her, "Don't say that I am depressed." Because that keeps us in bondage. That keeps us from the liberty that Christ has for us. The scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's not only just for others, though, that those that we speak to, but also for ourselves. We can speak a state of being. We can speak ourselves into bondage. Our mind can be the strongest prison of our life, right in captive in my own mind. God wants to set us free. He wants to give us freedom. You know, I enjoyed, you know, when I think when they went in the land of Canaan, it wasn't just a little corner that God wanted them to occupy. He said, "Look, as far as you can see, to the north, the south, the west, and east, I've given you this land." You know, sometimes we limit what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives by our own thoughts and by the things that we say. There's power. God spoke the world into existence by His voice. There is power in the spiritual realm by our voice and our words. We can help promote life by words of life, words of hope, words of encouragement and strength that come from our lips can give life to other people. That's what Jesus did. He gave life to people. People loved Him. The poor people, those that had problems and troubles, because He gave them hope. That's what the gospel does. It gives us hope for freedom. And he told them, he said, everywhere the sole of your foot shall tread, I'll give it to you. And that's what we want tonight. And as we go forth through life in our journey, we want to get our faith. And I believe that represents the feet of our faith. We want to be able to get, when we get them on new territory, it's ours. We can have it through faith and believing in God.
Praise God.
There's also a saying that says, I wrote down long time back, I put it in my Bible, but it said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thoughts of fear, doubt, indecision crystallize into weak, unmanly, and irresolute habits. There's that word habits again, which solidify into circumstances of failure, indigence, and slavish dependence. Oh, the Lord has given us a gospel and sent his spirit to make us free. Help us, Lord, to utilize the promises of God, that by those we could be partakers of the divine nature. We don't have to have the nature that came from our parents. We don't have to have that, just that force of sin, that force of our minds and our spirit that drags us down. We can have victory in our spiritual life and our walk with God. I've been really impressed too with the thought of skills. I want to read the definition of skills. It says the ability to use one's knowledge effectively and readily in execution of performance. A skill. It's the ability to use one's knowledge effectively and readily in the execution of performance. And we know what skills are. We see skills, people that gain skills. How do we gain skills? We practice. That's how we gain skills. We practice something over and over. We learn it. In every area of our life, on our jobs, we learn skills. We learn how to function. We learn how to fix things. We learn how to apply ourselves and work through things. You know, when we come to spiritual problems, we come to issues in our lives between husband and our marriages and our children, issues in the church. You know, we can apply skills and work through situations just like we do on the job. We can learn skills that will help us. He said, also part of the definition of skills is dexterity or coordination, especially in the execution of learned physical tasks. You know how it is when you do something for the first time, you feel real awkward. You look at these little children when they start to walk. They're clumsy. Their hands are going different directions and their body is, you know, they're trying to figure out the balance. They fall down just like we do, but they get back up and they learn. They keep practicing. Pretty soon they're walking. And I believe our spiritual life is the same. We need to practice what God gives us. Oh, this has been so encouraging to me in my life lately. He said it's another definition says a learned power of doing something competently. You know, we can gain skills in communicating to our spouse and becoming vulnerable to them and learning how to really connect with them. We don't have to let walls separate us. We don't have to allow our marriage just to be a form, but it can be something where there's a closeness, a unity, a working together. just like those that build good houses, you know, we see things. I enjoy seeing craftsmanship. But it's because people learn skills. They learned how to do it. And I believe it's the same way in our spiritual life. We can learn new skills. And we begin to practice them. And as we begin to practice them, we gain coordination. And we gain competence. And we learn how to do new things. You know, the Christian life, there's so many things that we can learn. There's no stopping place for us to just feel all figured out. There's so much new skills that we can learn. And one of the other definitions of skill, it says to make a difference. To make a difference. Matter. Avail. You know, when we learn new skills, it can make a tremendous difference in our lives, in our walk with God, in the things that He wants us to do. When we learn new skills in our spiritual life, it makes a tremendous difference. It can be very effective. Now, I want to encourage us with this thought, because learning a new skill can be overwhelming. And I want to, you know, I mentioned earlier that we're creatures of habit. Sometimes we feel secure and safe in what we've been doing and the way we've been thinking. But if it's not producing good fruit, we need to examine. I feel like we need to think about our habits and how we deal with problems and situations and how we deal with conflicts that come up. And there's a pattern to it. And we want to look at that pattern and say, this is what I do when I meet situations. Do I make excuses up, which is running the other way or ignoring? We need to look at these patterns that we have and tell the Lord, say, I want to do something different. I recognize these reasonings, the way that I'm thinking, that my computation, it's not making my wife happy. It's not blessing our home. It's not really working. And we go back and we ask God, I want to do something different. I want it to be fruitful. And the Lord will give us scriptures that we can use. He'll give us a scripture that will open up and help us to understand our situation. And we need to use that scripture, practice it. It will work, and God will bless and help us. But I want to say learning a new skill is like for a child learning how to walk that's never walked. It's scary. He feels like he might fall, like he might fail. And sometimes learning new skills to us feels that way. It feels scary. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it right. And sometimes we draw back and we just settle in our habits of the way we're doing things. And if the way we're doing things is, if it's producing good fruit and and the Lord's blessing us in it, that's good. But if there's not good fruit and I'm not growing spiritually and the enemy's got me bound up in this mindset, God can help us to be able to change. And it starts in our thoughts and our minds. But I need to recognize the patterns of the things. You know, when they study those people that commit crimes, serial killers and things like that, they study and they can examine his past. And they predict his future. They predict what's going to happen next because they see the pattern. You know, our lives are like that too. There's a predictable outcome. But through the power of Christ and the gospel, we can be transformed from our old habits, our old way of thinking that's not producing. We can be transformed and we can actually change and grow in what God has for us. But when we learn a new skill, we've got to break it down and focus on one thing. You know, I told you about the first night about my batting. You know, if I was trying to explain to you how to bat a ball, I could write down a whole page of directions. You know, just looking, it looks, well, that's simple. He's just swinging that bat. But there's a lot of technique that goes into it. There's a lot of things. And if I wrote them all down on the list, you'd be overwhelmed. Brother Lauren Vance was talking about horseshoes the other day. He said he's got three different techniques that he uses on the horseshoe. If one technique is not working, he'll start using that other technique. But you know what he's done? He's practiced it, and he's good at it. You know, I'd like to play Brother Lauren. You know, because I have, you know what, he's going to smoke me. But I can learn. I'll listen. I'll let him teach me some of his techniques. I'm willing to learn. And that's why we want to be. We want to be willing to learn the techniques that God has for us. There's techniques to it. There's skills to learn. And he can go out there and throw those things. I go out there. I don't think I've ever thrown 100. And he's done that many times over. He knows how to ring them. I don't have the skill. I don't have the technique. But the good news is I can learn it. And we all can learn new skills. But we need to focus on one thing at a time. There's a lot of things that go into a technique, and it can be overwhelming to us. But if we focus on one thing at a time, we begin to practice that over and over, and we get it, then we can say, okay, now I can add something. I can add something else that will go into helping this become more successful. And I believe that's taught in the scriptures. When he told them, he said, you're not going to take all the land at once. He said, you're going to take it little by little. He wanted them to go in and learn, gain a victory, and learn, occupy that place, and get it settled and established. And that's what we want to do. We want the Word of God to be practiced in our lives to where we get coordinated with it. It becomes settled and established in our hearts, and we know how to use it. And then the Lord can lead us to the next place in our life, to the next strong city, to the next stronghold. That has been so much encouraging to me. I want to read you a little poem that's been a blessing. It says, and this is through the grace of God, but he says, you will be what you purpose to be. Let failure find its false content in that poor word environment, but spirit scorns it and is free. It masters time, it conquers space, it cows that boastful trickster chance, and bids that tyrant circumstance uncrown and fill a servant's place. You know, spiritual victories, I'm not through this poem, but spiritual victories don't come through luck. It comes because we're listening to God and we begin to use the skills that he's teaching us to use. Spiritual victory, we don't just gain spiritual victories just by chance or luck. David said, he teacheth my hands how to war. David learned how to fight. He started out with a sling and stone. Later, he probably used the bow and the sword. I know he used the Goliath sword. He goes on, he says, the human will, that force unseen, the offspring of a deathless soul, can hew away at any goal, the wall of granite intervene. You know, I want to encourage us tonight, because I know those walls can be so, sometimes we run up against them and we failed at different times. We've failed at the same thing many different times, and it's like a big granite wall. But it said the human will, that force unseen, the offspring of a deathless soul, can hew away at any goal. The wall of granite intervene. Be not impatient in delay, but wait as one who understands. When spirit rises and commands, obstacles are ready to obey. Oh, don't you, I'm thankful tonight that we can rise in our spirit through the skills as we practice what God teaches us and gives us, and we use it over and over. It becomes a skill. It becomes something that we use that's an effective tool in our life. And it not only is a blessing to us and our families, but it becomes a blessing to others. You know, there's skills that communication skills that we can learn. There's skills of learning how to open our hearts up and really share our inner man one with another. That are, you know, if I close people off, if I don't let them see me, you remember intimacy is intimacy. If I don't let people see into me, then I'm not going to grow as a person. I'm going to be isolated. We receive nourishment from the body. We receive nourishment through relationships in Christ. As I see Christ living in your life and giving you victory, and I understand the battles and the things, and it ministers, it gives me hope that if you can do it, there's hope for me that I can do it. And I can pray with you and ask you, what, how did you do that? What scriptures the Lord give you? How did he bless you? And I can learn techniques and skills too to overcome my difficulties and my battles. I want to close with this last thought about Jesus in his last battle at the cross. Jesus' battle, the real battle, was won in Gethsemane. The battle that he won within was in Gethsemane. It's where he surrendered to his Father's will. When we are winning the battles within, the battles outside are not going to, they're not going to affect us that much. Jesus endured the cross. He went through what he had, but grace came because he surrendered his life. He surrendered himself to the will of God. When we surrender ourselves to the will of God, to the scriptures, and to following the paths of responsibilities and learning the skills that God gives to us, when we surrender to those things, grace comes into our lives and we're able to overcome. So the most important this morning is, this evening is the battle, the battles that are won within. May the Lord encourage us. Jesus' battle, his real battle was won in Gethsemane. That's where the real victory was won. And our real battles are going to be won within. But I want to say tonight that Jesus can help us tonight. Doesn't matter what the battle is, doesn't matter the struggle, he is able to help us to overcome. So I want us to be encouraged in the promises and what God has for us. He can enable us, he can help us as we use the skills that he begins to reel in, as we practice. You know, if we fail in our practice, big deal, it's practice. Don't be too hard on yourself. I feel like I've been that way with me. When I have a tendency when I feel like I've come short, I'm hard on myself, and it paralyzes me and it hinders me. We've got to give our, if we fail when we practice, we've got to give ourselves room. Keep practicing. Stay in there, hold on. And pretty soon it gets to where you begin to win. You begin to learn the skills. It begins to make sense to you. It begins to open up. Well, Lord bless you all. Thank you for tuning in tonight. My prayer is, God, that would bless us all and that we would grow and gain spiritual ground. You know, it doesn't matter that poem, the environment the circumstances, chance, all those things really don't matter. When we've set our mind and our heart and we're willing, we can overcome and we can be victorious in Christ. I thank God for that this evening. Lord bless you all.